one-on-one coming up now, in which Ian Willoughby talks to Jan Richter, a man who knows all about the history of Mikulov.
In this week's one-on-one, I've come to meet Jan Richter, who is the historian at the Regional Museum in the South Moravian town of Mikulov. Mikulov, known in German as Nikolsburg, was for centuries one of the most important Jewish centers in Moravia. Jan Richter and I later discussed how Czechs view their history and the former German influence in this part of the world. But we first spoke about a subject he specializes in, Mikulov's rich Jewish history.
The first mention of a Jew residing in Mikulov comes from 1369, but it probably was not yet a whole community there. Jewish communities tended to be situated in bigger towns and in cities like Vienna and Brno, but in about the middle of 15th century, they got expelled from all the royal cities like Vienna and Brno. So they were looking for places outside these two cities so that they could still go there for trade and stuff. And Mikulov happened to be situated very suitably because it's only about 70 kilometers from Vienna and 50 kilometers from Brno, so they could actually make a one-day trip there and come back without violating the rule that prevented them from staying there.
And at what time was the Jewish community in Mikulov at its biggest?
Just before about beginning of 19th century, because the thing is that there was this Familientengesetz in German, as it's called, Familientenlaw, established or introduced at the beginning of 18th century, that limited the number of Jewish families in the Bohemian crownlands. But the Didersteins, the aristocratic family that owned Mikulov, saw the Jewish community as very good for the economy of the estate, so they actually managed to increase the number of these families there. And in 1848, and then later with the new constitution in 1867, all these limits and limitations and all these discrimination laws were abolished. So of course then Jews spread all over the place and went to Vienna mostly.
Mikulov is very, very near the Austrian border. It's 50 kilometers or so from Vienna. How closely was the fate of Mikulov's Jews tied to the fate of Jews in Austria?
Jews in Austria, first of all, is in fact Jews in Vienna, because there were not many Jews living outside Vienna. And of course they were all related. There was this big fire. I think the biggest fire in Mikulov happened in 1719, and the Jews in Vienna had a collection among them to help to rebuild the community in Mikulov. So trade-wise and family-wise, they were very, very closely connected.
Has your job brought you close to Judaism? Have you developed a strong interest in it?
Yes, very much so. All the research and all the publication and all these things were going on very well before the Second World War, but then it was interrupted, of course, by the war, and they all died or left or went to Israel after the war and so kind of building onto them. And also when you read the bibliographies of their work, you kind of found out that you have to speak Hebrew or read Hebrew at least to access the sources that they had. So yes, it brought me very close to the philosophy of it and the language and the culture as well.
Also, Jan, I'd like to ask you, you're a historian, you also write articles for newspapers sometimes. How well would you say Czechs know their history?
Not sure about that. I mean, many people, of course, are ignorant of history as they are of other things. But I think in general that the basic awareness of the Czech history among Czechs is fairly good. But the thing is that, for about 50 years there was different interpretations and values inserted into the study of history. So, of course, many people now are trying to see whether, for example, the Hussite movement is really what it was, as retold and interpreted by the communist historiographers.
What was the communist understanding of the Hussites?
They thought that it was the first revolutionary appearance of, the working class or peasants or whatever against the ruling classes. But of course, they to a great extent, they ignored the whole religious part of it.
Would you say people's understanding of history is distorted a bit by communism? Despite themselves, people sat in communist classrooms.
Sure, and I don't think it's just communism, because you know, all this national revival and the 19th century, which was prolonged into the First Republic as well, in the search for some kind of national idea, or, you know, the idea of the Czechoslovak state. The thing is that history was used, you know, by communists, but also by some historians before the communist era, to prove or to establish some facts, rather than, you know, they wanted it to serve some purpose rather than some kind of objective, you know, study of the past. So, yes, it was distorted.
Would you say that this country's German and Jewish history has been written out of history to some extent because of the need to create a nation, all that kind of thing?
Oh, very much so. Yes, definitely. It came as a shock when I was, you know, 15 or 16, and, you know, to learn that there were more Germans living in Czechoslovakia before the war than there were Slovaks. So, of course, they were trying to, you know, present the Czechs, or, you know, Czechoslovakia at the time, as some kind of solid nation, you know, within its borders. But nobody said it was not so. There was, you know, like more, with Jews it's a little bit different, but with Germans, of course, there was 1/3 of the population was German, and you can't ignore that. So, you know, it was more, the history of Czechs is more our thing in the interaction with the outside world rather than, you know, in their own.
Would you say that Czechs have lost something through, to some extent, ignoring that past?
Well, I'm not sure about that. They definitely lost something by driven all those Germans out of the country, because, of course, you know, the more stimuli, so to speak, or you know, the more different angles of looking at one thing you have, the richer you are.
Franz Kafka, the author, is famously not seen as being Czech by Czechs. But are there some elements of German history here that have been kind of Czechicized and taken on by the Czechs, and now they're proud of those elements of their history?
Yes, I think it's not so much in Moravia, but, I mean, you know, the whole Prague, you know, environment, the whole, you know, mystical elements that people are looking for in Prague, that was at least half German, I would say, if qualifying it makes any sense. But in Bohemia, it was a bit different, because the central area of Bohemia was of course Czech, and then the border areas were German. But in Moravia, it was, you know, there were Germans living in, you know, most of the major towns and cities. So Brno was half German, and, you know, Olomouc not very much so, but then Prostějov, you know, it was all almost German cities.